according to Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, O Christ. You may be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know what I like about baptisms? It's the reaction or the response to the water being poured over the head of the newly baptized. Sometimes that water is a little too cold and it can be quite shocking. Sometimes we get to see babies that play in the water and share this gift of new life with anybody close enough to the baptismal font to give light. Sometimes there is a pride that comes, especially with not infants, with older children and even adults. But except for the babies, there seems to be a pause that comes across kind of as a, well, now what? And it's a legitimate response. A person is washed with this special water, with all looking on, but you don't necessarily feel any different. I mean, one doesn't grow an inch taller by this water, or suddenly have long hair if you had short. Except for the knowledge of what just happened, most people that I have encountered really don't feel like they have any magical powers from this, or they feel really any different than they did 5 minutes ago. Romans 6 says, Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Paul tells us that through baptism, we are given new life. So what do you do with that new life? Well, I've noticed that really depends on the people who are around that newly baptized, the Christians who are there in the midst to help guide them into what it means to be a follower of Christ. There are some families for whom this day is about the act, the task before them, to get this traditional sacred sacrament completed. They kind of move on with their life like any other day. They have their certificate in hand or filed away, and they really don't think about it again. There are some that understand this new life and take these obligations or promises made, and they move into the world with purpose and action. If these newly baptized are babies, well, they get to watch their parents live out their baptismal promises, at least the ones they agreed to when they affirmed their own baptismal promises at their confirmation. Promises that so many others ignore because it's more about the ritual the promises of trusting God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, word and action, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Parents, do you remember making those promises? And if so, how have you and how do you continue to model these promises? Because we need to remember, children learn by first watching others. This week we saw another death. I know what I saw, you know what you saw, but where do we go with that? If we are to follow our baptismal promises that we affirmed at our own confirmation, then looking the other way just isn't what God calls us to do. What does Jesus call us to do or to be? In short, to love our neighbors. Those who sit around here with us today, and those who will never set foot in this church, or never set foot in this community, or even in this state, or even sometimes people who never set foot in this country. They are our neighbors. Our neighbors are those we love and those we agree with, but they're also the people we hate. How is that love for our neighbors going? So I've been reading this book by Brian McLaren. Brian McLaren is, he would not call himself a pastor, though he is. Brian McLaren and a few others are the ones that are always in front of ministry. They are the ones who were doing church at bars or coffee stores long before everybody else was doing that. But in his book, Do I Stay Christian?, the author tries to explain a big reason why people are moving away from Christianity. And it's what I hear from young adults today, who some of you may be expecting to be here, and for them to be Christian in the way that we all were taught to be doing things. The truth is, these younger generations and some older generations see how we live as those who gather here and then question if we're Christian at all. Are we really following God's, Christ's example in word and deed? We begin our fellowship, our worship time, with the usual confession and forgiveness. And today, we all said together, you call us to life in community, but we have served our own interests at the expense of our neighbors. We have sown deceit where honesty was needed. We say the right words, but our hearts are far from you. Turn us to seek your face. Knit us together and give us the mind of Christ, that we may do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. As soon as we complete the confession on behalf of Christ, I have the honor of forgiving your sins, but then what? Our young people would hear our words that we say and then say our actions don't necessarily match. Because we look the other way. Or we say there's nothing we can do about it, so it's just easier to pretend it didn't happen. Or we allow others to do the work. And if the work doesn't, if it tends to go against what Jesus said, well, that's on them. And the young people are watching and they see. The truth is that that's what it means to be a Christian. Then why would they want any of this? Brian McLaren stated, and this caught my eye, Rome's empire was violent. God's empire was nonviolent. Rome's empire was characterized by domination. God's empire is characterized by service and liberation. Rome's empire was preoccupied with money. God's empire was preoccupied with generosity and deeply suspicious of money. Rome's empire was fueled by love of power. God's empire was fueled by power of love. Rome's empire created a domination pyramid that put a powerful and violent man on the top with chains of commands and submission that put everyone else in their place beneath the supreme leader. God's empire created a network of solidarity and mutuality that turned the conventional pyramid upside down and gave the last, the least, and the lost an honored place at the table. On this day, Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, we see the beauty of John's baptism of repentance, and we see Christ's baptism that we get as a gift of new life. But where do we go from there? Well, truth is, in our story, immediately following his baptism, Jesus goes in the desert for 40 days to be tempted, and then he moves into his ministry. We receive the gift of baptism, and we are to move into the world for a life of following Jesus, to love our neighbors, including the poor and the homeless and the sick and the immigrant, documented or undocumented. Following Christ's example is what makes us Christian. If we are unwilling to follow Jesus, what does that make us? All of this is simple, but it's also really challenging. The truth is, we don't do this alone. God walks with us. And as we stand up for those who are being treated in ways that would offend God, God walks with us as we use our voices to defend those who others may look down upon, because we remember that they too are children of God. The baptismal waters are powerful, but only if we let them be powerful. New life is a gift that we can't walk away from. Another shooting is not the will of God, but the will of the evil in the world. Another shooting, another day, and we just can't walk away. Not as Christians. So what are we going to do? Do we waste the beautiful gift God has given us? What does it mean to be a Christian, a baptized follower of Christ, and given a new life? Amen.